greetings in Christ's precious name this evening. It's a blessing to be here this evening and to worship together. For a message this evening, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 10. As I was thinking about tonight and thinking about what to share, my mind was led to a phrase here in this little story of these two women and Jesus as they shared together here. It's only five verses, but I want you to think about verse 42. It says this of Luke chapter 10. It says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And tonight, the message title is Choosing the Thing That Can't Be Taken Away. What did Mary choose that could not be taken away from her? And I want you to think about that as we go through the message here this evening. This was a very important meeting. These were very dear friends of Jesus as he stopped here. I'm going to read the five verses this time. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus was not about to take away what Mary has chosen. We have, prior in this passage, we have the story of the Good Samaritan, and we also have the 70 that were sent out and returned. And then we come to this, after he told that parable is when he stopped it at Mary and Martha's house. This was approximately 6 days before his crucifixion, before the Jews were going to take him and kill him. And I want you to think about Jesus as he traveled along, and the love and the care he showed, despite realizing that just in a short period of time, the very people that he came to save and the very people that he really, really loved were ready to do away with him and to destroy him. So you just think about that as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He stopped for a bit, and the trip to Jerusalem was about 2 miles from here. So it wasn't a very far journey, but yet on foot it was decent. You know, we think about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and we think about Martha serving. She was busy, she was cumbered about with serving. This was someone that was very important to Mary and Martha. This was someone that they cared about. And they chose to relate to this. They chose to relate to Jesus in two different ways. And I also want you to think about is that Jesus didn't criticize Mary for what she was doing. He didn't say that, you know, what you're doing is worthless, it's not needful, it's not necessary, just simply stop. He didn't tell her that. His response was, "Martha, Martha, there, thou art careful and troubled about many things." That's what Jesus answered to her after Martha came to him. Well, we find in our text here today, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. A picture of humility a picture of wanting to hear, a picture of desiring to understand Jesus. There's some more we find about Mary, and let's turn over to John chapter 11. This is the passage about Lazarus when he passed away, and they buried him, and Jesus waited till he was in the grave 4 days and came and raised Lazarus from the dead, and we know the story well. And we find Mary again responding to Jesus, and Jesus called for her, and in verse 32 of chapter 11, he says this: "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Here again, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus, bowing at his feet, saying, just pleading with the Lord, "If you have been here, my brother would have not died." I turn over a passage to John chapter 12, and we have Mary again. This was when Jesus was sitting at the table and Mary comes on the scene. Remember, his disciples were around him, Judas included here. And we'll break in at verse 3 of chapter 12. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put in therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." She enters the room and she anoints Jesus' feet with this perfume. And Judas was just, I think, incensed. He's like, this is dumb. This is not necessary. As he thought about the money that she paid for this and just dumping it out. Jesus said, let her alone. Here again, we find her at the feet of Jesus. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary was persistent. She wanted time with Jesus. It doesn't say that Mary didn't help Martha, because she was. It says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Meaning that she was there and she left to sit at the feet of Jesus. There was something that mattered more to Mary than it did to Martha. There was something that mattered more to her. She done what needed to be done, and she was ready to listen to Jesus and to hear Jesus. Mary's desire to hear Jesus overrode anything she was doing. You can do a lot of things, and they can be good things, but you can do them for the wrong reason. Mary, I believe, wanted to show honor to her Lord. Just in her posture, she bowed at Jesus' feet in humility and says, heard his words in verse 39. I believe the words that Jesus was speaking, she listened to intently, and she heard them. They went in, and they spoke to her. It wasn't just a haphazard doing the right thing or making it look good, but it was real. It was alive in her heart. It says she heard the words of Jesus. Tonight I asked you, do you hear the words of Jesus? Is the words of Jesus something you hear, or is life a formality? Is life simply something that needs to be gotten through, or do you hear? Jesus said to the churches in Revelation, to all the churches, he ended with, "He that hath ears, let him hear. He that hath ears, let him hear." Are we hearing the words of Jesus, or are we listening to other things? A.W. Tozer says this. He says, "Prayer is an elevation of the heart to God, and that is all man needs to praise and pray and to worship." How often do you commune with God? Is it regular? Is it rarely? Is it sometimes? Is it when you feel like it? I see Mary communing with Jesus. Maybe Jesus was doing all the talking, but Mary was listening, and she wanted to hear. She desired to know. Yeah, I believe it was a longing in her own heart. Say Judas would have had the desire to hear Jesus that Mary did. As he sat around that table, and he saw and he smelled that expensive perfume invading the space in the room, and he got focused in on the expense and what it was doing, and he missed his master. The story of a man that was more desirous for gain and for money and life than anything else. It took him to the end of to ending his own life. All because he was more concerned about material gain than he was about his master. The man, Jesus, that could save him, that could give him salvation, that could restore his soul. But the reality is you and I can come to the same place of missing it, being blinded by our own goals and aspirations in life. I came across this in my studying. It said, "Worship is not a learned behavior." This was in response to Martha. "It stems from a heart of gratitude and love for God." I read that again. "Worship is not a learned behavior. It stems from a heart of gratitude and love." You can never learn yourself into true worship. You can never somehow do it good enough that it will pass. It's not some learned, you do step one, two, and three, and then you have what it takes. This isn't a learned behavior. As you have a love and a gratitude for your God, worship will grow on you. It'll be something you love. It'll be something you want to do. It won't be something that you put on. Mary cultivated this while Martha became busy with life. Again, she wasn't doing something that was wrong. She wasn't doing something that was out of place. She was actually doing some very necessary things. She was preparing. She was fixing the meal, the feast, or whatever was what it needed to be done. And maybe you can identify with Martha. There Mary sat. I believe she was so entranced at the feet of Jesus that that she hardly noticed her sister blurring around as she got the work done. It was happening. Martha was getting it done. She was doing what needed to be done. And the frustration of Martha was only growing. It was only getting deeper as she watched her sister just engrossed there with Jesus, just listening to his every word. I found it interesting, you look at some of the wording here in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, to help me.'" Martha was cumbered. The word cumbered here means to draw to draw different ways at the same time. You ever try to pull two different ways at the same time? It doesn't work. Something's backing up while the other one's going forward. Having divided attention, she was trying to do too many things, too many good things. These weren't things that were not good, but rather they were good things. Again, you can do all the right things, but if you're not building your relationship with Jesus, it is to no avail. Martha was busy with good things, but what she failed to realize is that Jesus was actually more important than what she was doing. Jesus was more important than what she was doing. Psalms 95, 4 through 6 says this, "In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. All things are God's. The world is his. The earth is his. All creation, all humankind, everything will answer to God. God created it. God can end it. It is all answerable to God." Who in the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1, 15 to 17, "the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." All things are created by our God. All things. Now, I want to think about Jesus for a little bit in this passage. We have Jesus coming, and then we have a bit of communication. Mary obviously went to sit at the feet of Jesus instantly. Martha kept going. She welcomed him in, but after that, she was busy preparing. And we have Jesus entering the picture here in verse 41. And it says that Jesus, after Martha confronted Jesus, and again, the verse gives a very, if you look up some of the meanings of those words, it gives, she was very forceful with Jesus. She was demanding with Jesus, "Why don't you help me? Why don't you tell my sister to come give me a hand?" And Jesus says this. He says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You're careful and you're troubled about many things. And I read a couple things out of that. First of all, Jesus knew Martha very personal. He had a personal relationship with Martha, and he cared. One, a compassion. Also, I want you to think about that numerous times in Scripture, Jesus called people twice by name. Martha, Martha. And it's when he wanted them to really pay attention. "Look, listen here. I want to tell you something." But one of compassion. Jesus had I believe as he watched, as he looked on, it doesn't tell us, but I believe Jesus saw what was going on here as he sat there and he talked with Mary. I believe he saw the ruckus, the flurry of activity, and this gave him an opportunity to share with Martha his concern. He was concerned that Martha doesn't lose out because of misplaced priorities. He said, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." In other words, maybe these things aren't as important as you think they are. A relationship with me is more important, I believe, is what Jesus was trying to get through to Martha. Come, why don't you spend time with me? Why don't you spend time learning to know me? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, says this. Verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If we're going to fight a battle and we're going to win, we're going to have to keep ourselves free from the entanglement of worldly lusts and pleasure. We're going to have to keep ourselves free from cluttering our lives so much that we don't have time for God. Whether that's work, whether that's helping other people, whether that's you fill in the blank. Anything you're going to do here in this life is not as important as worshiping God and having a personal relationship with him. Turn to Mark 4, verse 19. Mark 4, verse 19 says, this is talking about the soils here, and it says about the thorny soil in verse 19, and it says that verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." We allow things to come in and to choke the words of Jesus in our heart. It talks about the thorny soil. Tonight, am I allowing the things of this life to ebb away the relationship with Jesus Christ? Verse 42 of our text says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What did Mary choose that Martha chose not to? What could not be taken away from her? And I like to suggest tonight that it is sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his words. Something that Jesus would not take away from Mary. It is a needful thing, he says. He says there's one thing that is needful. He says you're cumbered about, you're careful and troubled about all these things. He says, but there's one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. Mary chose the part that Jesus could not take away. The words of this book are for life and for the good of his people, for the good of humanity. Read them, study them, know them. They will give you life. They will breathe healing into your heart, and they will give you what it takes to face any battle that you will face in life. The words of Jesus. Choosing the part that cannot be taken away. Worship leads to working, while working does not necessarily lead to worship. Worship leads to working, while working does not necessarily lead to worship. Basically, what that's saying is if you're worshiping, obedience, a life of obedience will come forth from you. But if you're trying to work to get to worship, it will never work. We cannot get to worship by work. In closing, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we have here Jesus, in the end of the chapter, Jesus teaches about worry, being worried about things in life. I believe Martha was worried. She was concerned. She wanted to have the best. She wanted to put on the best for Jesus. And for the person she really cared about, I believe Martha cared about Jesus as much as Mary did. I really believe she did. But she was busy about having it all just right, more than she was about listening to the words of Jesus. He says the last verse, or the second to last verse, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," in verse 33, "and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of evil thereof." You know, tonight, if we seek the kingdom of God first, it will answer so many questions in life. It will bring so many answers. I believe that Jesus' challenge to Martha was, you need to adjust your thinking. Martha's thinking needed an adjustment. The deeds of service to her were more important than her relationship with God. And it needs to be the other way around. Your relationship with God needs to be more important than your deeds of service. If your deeds of service become more important than your relationship with God, your life will become a form and not a true child of God. Your life and your actions will simply become a form if you put them in front of God. God says, you can't have anything between me and you. If you have something that you place between me and yourself, there's something wrong. So tonight I ask you a question. Are there things in your life that you have allowed to get past, and you've allowed them in between your relationship with God? You've allowed them to sit there and fester. You've allowed them to kind of put distance between you and God. And tonight is an opportunity to put God first in your life, to make God the number one capital of your life. And you will be blessed, I can assure you, tonight.